Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter from Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a fairly well week. It's Wednesday. It's, you know, I love preaching on Wednesdays. But I'm thinking about maybe switching it up next year, teaching a lesson next year on this. It's just kind of been on my mind a little bit, just to do more Bible studies through this format. And of course, eventually getting it where it's set up like a podcast. Of course, that costs money. So the Lord will provide. I don't ever ask for money. Every once in a while I may, if I felt led, but God provides everything. Lay it in prayer. He knows my heart, and he knows I want his will, right? His will needs to be done, not mine. I learned that the hard way many times. Yeah, I'm a hard learner. I am. So we're doing a preaching series. And this preaching series is centered around Christmas. And when we look at Christmas, and I may sound like a broken record here, I just wanted to kind of make that point, kind of hammer that point in. This is the time of the year that our nation should be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily meaning that he was born in December. And we're supposed to celebrate his birth every day as we celebrate his resurrection every day, and thanking God for the beautiful promises that he has provided for his children, and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of his true believers, that will know that their life is beyond what they can imagine. They die to their flesh and they desire to walk more in the Spirit. And what's so sad about American's church today is they want to walk more in the flesh and less in the Spirit. And I get attacked because there's pastors out there, there's preachers out there that are propagating that garbage. Our lives, we are soldiers for the name of Christ. And of course, Jesus will come back and he will handle those individuals. I hope their salvation. I hope they're just misguided. The devil has blinded them on that point of their ministry, not on the salvation part of that. But we're looking at Christmas, and we're going to be in John 14:27 tonight, and we're continuing the series sermon on topics that we'll hear around the Christmas season. And we got to understand that the way the world uses these themes, these topics for Christmas, is not the same way we, as children of God, should view them. We know it's just not one day in the month of the year that we celebrate the birth of Christ, but every day. See, our light should shine bright as that house on the block that has all those Christmas lights up. You probably are familiar. There's probably one person in the neighborhood that has Christmas lights so bright you have to, when you walk out, you have to put shades on. Maybe not. But our light should shine. If there was a person in your neighborhood with those bright lights shining so bright, our light should shine brighter. And I'm not talking about physical lights on a house. I'm talking about we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We, our light is supposed to shine in that darkness around us, that engulfing darkness that is surrounding this world. It will increase, but the thing is, we don't let that darkness snuff out the light, the fire, the passion that we are supposed to have for Jesus. And first sermon on this series was on hope. And when we look at hope, and I encourage you guys to go back and listen to that sermon, because that's kind of the kickstart of the Christmas sermon or the Christmas themes. Hope. As a Christian, we should know that Jesus is our hope. He is the only hope. He is the anchor of our soul. This world, how it will view hope, is superficial. It's not permanent. It can be gone in a blink of an eye. And the same with joy. We looked at joy, and the joy goes the same way. We're supposed to have joy unspeakable. And when we look at joy, that's Jesus over you. That's Jesus over me. That's Jesus over us. So the J, Jesus, O, over, Y, U. I read that somewhere and it just stuck. Jesus over you. Our joy does not come from us. It's not what we can attain. It's not about getting that nice house or getting that nice car. Or, you know, it goes beyond that. It goes on what was done at the cross. The price that was paid at the cross. The blood that ran red of our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the atonement for our sins. That perfect lamb that take away the sins of the world. And we know that He overcame the grave. And we know that because of that, we can come right where we're at right now. And we can be real with Jesus. There's nothing special to say. Some will, that false thought out there that you need to make a decision. Or you need to say a certain prayer. Yeah, we need to come to Jesus. And yes, we need to make a decision. But we can't say a magical prayer and think we're saved. We know it has to come from the heart and from the mouth. Confession is made. And God only sees your heart. He knows if you're truly giving it all to Him. Surrendering every day. Willing to pick up the cross every day. Willing to beat that flesh in submission every day. When we become a child of God, we will not have to experience the second death. If we truly are a child of God. Truly, that's the problem. We got many out there professing something that their hearts are so far away from. And they are not a child of God. Not because my opinion, because of the Word of God. They will experience the second death. The second death is hell. God's true children that will persevere to the end. That will persevere to the end. Is children of God. And they will not have to experience the second death. Hell. So tonight we're looking at peace. And we're going to be in John 14:27. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight, thanking you for your holy presence, thanking you for getting us through this week so far, enduring. I know I thank you so much every day, just keeping me throughout the day. Lord, I pray, Lord, you know who's out there listening to this message. You know who needs to hear this message. Maybe it's not tonight. Maybe if somebody will come across it one day. I don't know. I just know I give you all. This ministry was inspired because the Holy Spirit pressed on me to do this. Don't understand the reasons. All I do is obey. Heavenly Father, Lord, is tonight just be with us. God, and direct this sermon. Lord, I pray that you be with your messenger, that I am, that the words I speak are the words that you have me to speak, and those that are out there listening, that where they may be in their life, knowing that there is a difference in peace that we have as children than what this world can offer. Same with hope and joy, Lord. Lord, I pray those that are going through financial crisis and maybe thoughts of ending their lives. This world's chaotic. Many are deciding to end their lives because they see no hope or joy or peace in their circumstances. Lord, I pray with those that are sick. I pray those are mourning loved ones tonight. Lord, the hurt, the pain that we can feel when we lose somebody we love. I've been there. There may be many that's listening that can understand. The pain hurts like a knife cutting through your heart. Knowing that you got it, still we mourn. And we know that you will comfort us. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just once again be over this sermon. Let your words be heard, not mine, through your beautiful scriptures that was fully inspired by the Holy Spirit and has no errors in it. I don't care what anybody says. Your word is without error. It's inspired by men of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit to pen the words in our Bible. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me get a drink here. So when we look at the Gospel of John, we have Jesus here telling us, telling his children, or telling those that are truly his, that we have a peace that's different than this world. I know if you've been around at any length in this world, you will hear people say, I hear it at my work, what is wrong with this world? And especially today when you have all this chaos that's overflowing, whatever end. You have the COVID crisis, the pandemic. You have the vaccines are coming out, and you know, I want to tell you guys, just pray over that. Pray deep in prayer. The thing is, we don't pray enough. We don't seek God's face enough. I'm not saying not get a vaccine. I'm saying make sure you have travail for hours or days fasting and praying before you have something injected into your body. When you yield to the Holy Spirit and you listen to His guidance, He will give you an answer, I promise you. But we'll hear that term, what is wrong with the world? Where's the peace, right? See, this world, it will try to fill you with that empty peace. As we talked about the hope and joy, how it tries to fill you with that empty hope and that empty joy, and it's superficial and it don't last. And same thing with the peace that this world gives you. It's not the same peace that Jesus gives us. And you know, when we talk about what's wrong with this world, you know, us Christians should be able to explain to that lost person, or even when we're teaching a class in our church or witnessing or whatever it may be, we should be explaining what is wrong with this world. Sin. Not my opinion. If you go to the beginning, you go to Genesis 1, you can read the whole creation account, how Jesus created this world. And you can read how He created Adam and Eve. And they were supposed to tend this perfect garden. See, God called it good. I guarantee you, when He said good, it was beyond what we could even create. We can't even imagine in our own minds. It compares to, if you look up the artists that have these beautiful paintings. I'm kind of thinking of the Sixtine Chapel, or these beautiful wonders of the world that the world praise. It doesn't have nothing to compare to what God created. It was perfect. It was good. And of course, He created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve, right? I know I've heard that from somewhere and I kind of laugh. It's true, right? You probably won't hear that off too many pulpits, so they might lose their ties. But they were supposed to keep the garden and they were supposed to have children. You see, within this garden, they didn't have no pain. No pain, guys. No back pain, no head pain, no headaches. They didn't have no sickness, no illness. Just kind of, and of course, if you really want to think of the, they didn't have no COVID. They didn't have that super, or whatever you want to call it, virus, or they didn't have any of these illness. You see, they didn't have hurricanes and tornadoes. There was nobody that was homeless. The garden was their home. Nobody was going hungry. And there's millions that are going hungry today. You see, God created the animals, and the animals didn't harm each other. They were not meat eaters. If you think of lions, tigers today, and you know how they're carnival. They eat meat. You know, if a zebra comes by, they're going to get it if they're on the hunt. But in the garden, that didn't take place. The lions and the tigers, they played with the zebras. And of course, I'm just using that. You know, there was animals that were created, and they did not eat meat. And you keep reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and 2, and 3, and you see Satan was watching Adam and Eve. He saw the love that God had for his creation. And Satan wanted to destroy what was good. And he's seen his perfect opportunity to approach Eve and deceive her. And she allowed to be deceived. And then Adam fall right behind her by eating the fruit of that forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's when sin entered the world. That's when the curse, you'll hear the curse, enter this world. Sin entered this world. It became corrupt. And that's why we have pain. That's why we have sickness, murders and broken families. Hungry and homeless. Storms destroys people's homes, man. It just goes on and on. The chaos. Hate and anger. Racism. Hate. It breaks my heart when I look at the hate in this world. So, that's what went wrong with the world. Alright? Sin entered. We are what's wrong with this world. That's tough, right? I think as Christians, we want to really think we're hot and mighty, and that we're better than everybody else in this world. And no, we're not. We were on a highway to hell, as that lost person is, until on that road we met our Savior, and he struck us down, opened our eyes, and pointed us to the cross. Amen for the cross. Amen for that little baby that was born in the manger. Sin, which led to a series of sin. And if you want to look, you want to kind of get a list of what you would call a series of sins, and what Paul would refer to as the works of the flesh. Let me turn to Galatians 5. Let me flip to that. Galatians 5:16. I'll just read this all the way down to Galatians 5:16 through 21. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit is against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one of the other, so that you cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And not of the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And these are, will be, we like the works of the flesh. Sin. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variants, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, and reviling, and it says such like, I mean, the list continues. You can view liars there too. People that steal. Those that call chaos in the church. Boasters. Pride. The list can go on and on. Of that which I tell you, believe as I also told you in time past, which do such things, listen to this, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what Paul is saying. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is not my wording. That is the Bible. This world has a sin problem. They love their sin. They love their sins. Sad truth is that when I look out across the church, especially in America, and that's my ministry in America, and I'm pretty sure it could be in other countries, but God is wanting me to focus on America. The church, the America, has allowed the world to rub all over her. The church looks like the world. It pricks my heart how it turns from God. There was a Frenchman, his name was, I may slaughter this name, Alex D. Couteville, T-O-C-Q-U-E-V-I-L-L-E. And he wrote about the democracy in America in the early 1800s. And of course, that was before they took prayer out of schools. And that was before they took the Bible out of schools. And he wrote these words, I'll look throughout America to find her greatness originated. I'll look for it in her harbors and on her shorelines and her fertile fields, her boundless prairies and all the gold mines and vast world commerce. But it was not there. It was not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her success. It said the pulpits aflame with righteousness. America is a great because of this, right? She is good because of this. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great when the pulpits, and now this is me speaking, when the pulpits cease to preach about righteousness and holiness and walking a life that is honoring God and walking more in the spirit and less in the flesh, America will not be great. Lukewarmness, these lukewarm sermons that is preached at majority of the American churches will not cut it in the last days. Take that pre-trib in your thought patterns and look at what the COVID's doing right now with mandatory masks and a possible vaccine that could be a huge precursor to the mark of the beast. Mandatory vaccines, mandatory chips. This can be serious. No rapture yet, guys. What's up? Well, you may say, well, hold on, brother. It's coming. Yeah, it's coming, all right. You keep on waiting to see the Antichrist that will sit in the temple, and he will profane that temple. And when you're looking at that desolation there, you're going to realize you were wrong. And then at that point in time, you're going to freak out. Now, pray at that point in time, your eyes will truly be open. You will truly follow Jesus the way you're supposed to be following him. Or Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, some of the saddest scriptures, not just Matthew 7, the first verse, which most lukewarm Christians want to spout out because they don't understand in the contents. Matthew 7. Let me peek. There it is. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there will go thereat. That wide way, many will go down that. This is the Bible, guys. It said many will go down this way. Many will go to hell. Verse 14 said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, that narrow way which leads unto life. Few there will find it. Meaning few will find that narrow way. And then it gets really interesting when you read verse 15. Beware of false prophets. And we got a ton of them. Majority of America churches have these false prophets in their pulpits spouting their profanity, which came to you in sheep clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves. And then 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hemmed down, is cut down, and is cast into the fire. And whereby their works you shall know them. You will know them. Listen, guys, study your Bible. When that man is in that pulpit, and it only should be a man in that pulpit, not a female. When he is preaching, we're supposed to be examining. Be students of the Word daily. Because that man in the pulpit can fail you, because he's human. I tell many people, when I go visit churches, I tell them, if I say something in the pulpit, challenge me. But I also say this. And I like doing it in person, because Facebook, you got a lot of cowards. They can hide behind Facebook. I like to see people in person. When I start hitting them with scripture, they back away, because a lot of them are not studying their Bible. I just make them feel uncomfortable. Not me, the Holy Spirit makes them feel uncomfortable, because there's something not right in their lives. So they start becoming uncomfortable. And they get very combated. Trust me. I know. But verse 22. Or 21. Not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But ye that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in name in thy name that cast out demons, in name of thy many wonderful works? And then that's Jesus, professing them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. Many will hear that. Many will hear that. Good news is, if you're listening to this message tonight, maybe you've already tuned it out, cut it off, and don't want to hear it. Well, people will reject it. Hurts my heart, but I'm not responsible for I'm just a messenger. I'm not responsible to the response. See, our pulpits should be raining those messages about righteousness and holiness and walking a life that's honoring God. See, sin is a problem with this world. When did it become okay for couples to live together without being married? When did it be okay to have abortion on the man, killing our babies, sacrificing the altar of conveniency? When did it be okay to watch this filth on TV that many of us watch on TV and only bat an eye? When did it become okay with celebrating pride, gay pride, and that marriage of men and women with women? It's okay for transgender. It's okay for our little kids to decide if they're a boy that can be a girl. When did that been okay? When is it okay to be able to remove Bibles out of school and preach on and then teach on evolution and give sex ed classes to kids that are 3 to 4 years old? When are we going to have enough? When is that righteousness that we're supposed to preach in the pulpit reigns? When are we going to dust our Bibles off and get into our prayer closets and petition to heaven? When will churches in America have them all night prayer meetings? Where's the fire? Where's the passion? Most can't even get out of bed to even make it on Sunday. Are there fear of some COVID? The spirit of fear is wrapped around them. Wait till they see the Antichrist. You talk about fear. They ain't seen nothing yet. Sin is the problem. But, of course, we have good news. Good news. Genesis 3:15. Let me flip over to it. Says this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. What we know about this, this was one of the first prophetic verses, promises of the Redeemer to start correcting what we have done, that sin. The coming of the Messiah. The birth of Jesus Christ is that birth that we celebrate on Christmas. John 3:16, 17, 18 was probably some of the most, well, at least John 3:16 is probably the most memorized scripture. They tend to want to forget 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Watered down gospel that tell you what you want to hear, evangelism, and then they boast on how many people converted, but then they didn't preach the whole counsel of God, and they truly have not converted anybody. First, they can't convert nobody. The Holy Spirit does. And if they're not told the full truth, then they can't be truly converted because they were not told the whole truth. Therefore, they can't truly accept Christ for who He is. Not saying that when they leave that place, that they, you know, that little piece that that person put out there, that they don't find a church. And not saying that church is, you know, they may find this church that's truly preaching the Word of God, the full counsel of God. And because we know His Word will not go void, even if there's half-truths out there being preached, God is in control. When they leave there, they may encounter somebody like me on the street, and I'll tell them the full counsel of God. They may come across this website, or they may come across another website. There's others out there preaching the truth about the gospel. So never rule out the Holy Spirit. But we should look at John 3:16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. John 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And of course, we hear that condemnation. This gives us a definition of condemnation, 19:20. Verse 19, 20, 21, "And this is the condemnation: light has come into the world, that is Jesus, that is that baby, and man loved darkness, that's Satan, rather than light, because their deeds were evil." They love Satan, they love doing evil, they love their sin. "For everyone that do evil hate the light." Those that sin and don't want to repent of it, they hate Jesus. They hate the light. "Neither come to light, lest his deeds shall be reproved." Meaning, unless they are rebuked and they are laying their hearts in repentance, because sin breaks God's heart. We have this false doctrine of dirty grace that you can get away with everything. You can keep on sinning and be okay. No, it don't work that way. You got a preacher preaching you that, you need to leave that church. "But he that do truth comes to the light, his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." They are from God, nothing that we do, but all through the Holy Spirit, right? So God sent His Son into this world through Mary. It was at birth. And of course we know it's a beautiful thing when you look at the Christmas story. And many of you will go to church, I pray, I hope, this Christmas, and hear a Christmas sermon on the birth of Jesus. May not hear the full truth, but it's a beautiful story. And our last sermon in this series will be on those passages about that beautiful promise. Romans 10:8 through 11 says this, "But he said, the word is near to thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, in thy word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You confess. But we don't stop there, guys. This problem is, they quote these verses, but then they don't quote the rest of it. "For with the heart man believe unto righteousness." Righteousness must follow belief, a holy and righteous life. "And with the mouth confess, a mouth confess unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed." Shall not be ashamed. You know, when I've been a few of them, when they tell us to bow your head, don't look up if somebody comes and decides to, man, we should be glorious, praising Jesus at that point in time. They should be proud that they have made that move in the right direction to walk a life different than this world. It's when they walk out in that world, it's when it's really going to be challenging. Tell them they're signing up for war. Tell them they're signing up to enter a war. But their war is fine because we have the Holy Spirit that will help us and that will guide us and will direct us. We come course born again. You can of course see that in John 3, 1 through 10. We are born again. We are no longer our old self. Old is past. We are new. We are regenerated. We are sanctified. We are justified. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our life. When the Holy Spirit comes in our life, He will direct us. He will guide us. He will convict us. He will chasten us when we get out of line. Thank God for the conviction, chastisement of the Holy Spirit. Many don't want to get chastened or convicted. That social gospel. Don't worry. You can still sin. Don't worry. God loves you too much. He won't send you to hell. No, keep sinning. Keep doing it. If it feels good, do it. It's fine. Yeah. That's not true. We serve a righteous and holy God. He is a God of judgment. Hell is real, just as heaven is. Of course, I hit on Matthew 7 about the two ways. One narrow, one wide, right? Narrow way will lead to everlasting life, but few will find that. Wide way leads to everlasting damnation. That help, and many will go down that path. Why? Because of love of sin. Today, Christian or professing Christian wants to be saved in their sin, not away from their sin. They want to keep sinning and still say, "I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I want to still have heaven on earth." No. You can have heaven on earth, but not in a sense that you can keep doing the fleshly stuff that makes your flesh happy. We can still have that joy and that peace and that hope of knowing one day when we close our eyes or the rapture, we will be where our Jesus. True peace, guys. You'll hear that theme this Christmas, peace. The way the world views peace is you can sin. You can keep doing whatever you want to. You can attain your own peace. You're a master of your destination. Peace is something you can do. But you see, our peace, true peace, is found in Jesus Christ. Peace in Jesus is secure and permanent. Philippians 4 verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Our peace is solid. It's on that rock. And that rock is Jesus. When everything is falling apart, when this world is kicking you in the teeth and is taking your breath away, You got to look at that situation, that challenge, differently than what this world looks at it. It's all about perspective, right, guys? Yeah. Let me get a drink. My throat's getting kind of dry. Mark 4:36-40 says this. When they have sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in a ship. And there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, and so it was now full, meaning he was taking on water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Master, care thou that we perish? And he rose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? Amen. Verse 39, you'll hear that, peace be still. And then you go farther down there, he said, why so fearful? Why so fearful? When you look at the American church today, why are ye so fearful? Oh, I'm not fearful. No, I'm not fearful. Yeah, keep lying to yourself. You got all the spirit of fear wrapped around, and you want to try to justify it by being cautious. We are not geared to the spirit of fear, guys. We are supposed to have faith. And faith is just not a healing faith, but that faith, that saving faith, which leads to a defensive faith. That is a spiritual warfare faith. That is a shield of faith. When those flaming arrows are coming our way, we know it's not what we are. It's what we are in Christ. That He has that peace. And He is our shield. When we're looking at this whole COVID-19 and freaking out about the outcome of the present, and we're not really recognizing that we have a God that is powerful, is mighty. You see, Jesus was right in the boat with him. He was not worrying. He did not have that fear. He was relaxing. He was not having extreme depression, anxiety that most of the people in America are having. The numbers are off the chart on depression, anxiety, and the rates of suicide are increasing even among people in church. His disciples woke him up, startled. We're not really startled, but I believe Jesus was frustrated. He said, peace be still. He rebuked the wind, the storm, it came immediately calm. And then he rebuked them. You know, if John the Baptist came back, he was preaching. Came from the wilderness preaching. He would go into the churches of America and he would preach to them, because that's where the wasteland is. See, our Jesus can heal the blind. Our Jesus can heal the lame. Our Jesus walked on water. Our Jesus rose the dead. That's who our Jesus is. Our Jesus conquered the grave. Our Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. And He said, I will come back soon. Amen. That's our peace. That's where we need to cling to. We need to armor up, guys. One of the pieces of the armor is your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Or the gospel of peace. We are supposed to armor up. That's our footing, right? You see, we are visible creatures. I know here in Louisiana this year we have record-breaking hurricanes and tornadoes. My family felt the hurt of that. But it's all glory. It's not about our pain and suffering. We felt the pain. But you get outside and you look at that storm from a distance and you know it's coming. And of course we make preps, you know. Because God gives us common sense, just like with COVID-19. Make sure you're, you know, socially distancing, washing your hands. if you're really older, you probably need to be a lot more cautious. Or if you're really young, the middle ground tends to be the area. And of course, that'll change. Who knows about the facts sometimes on that? Pray. Seek God. If you fall in those demographics and you are led to still to go to church and not to do the social distancing, lean on the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's not unbiblical. That is the Bible. But you got these storms coming. You get, of course, you got your generator, batteries, food, water, you know. But this don't trump the confidence and the faith that Jesus will keep you through those storms. If you're buying all that stuff because you think you're doing something, you got problems. When you're taking all the precautions because you think you can take care, that you can prevent yourself from getting sick or something, no. It's through the grace and mercy of God that He gives us the common sense to do that. It's through His ultimate protection that we are protected. And if it falls on us to get it, maybe it is our time to go. If all our preparation fail, God still has it. You know, I keep thinking of, as a kid, had these prayer meetings. And I'm big on prayer. Big on prayer. Night prayer meetings. And you don't hear those much anymore. People would pray. They would pray hard and long, all night maybe. You know, that fire and that passion to reach the heavens. See, the only full understanding of everything that's going on in our lives is through prayer. I'm not going to tell you not to social distance. I'm not going to tell you not to vaccine up or wear a mask. I don't pray. You say pray over it. Seek God's advice on it. And God's advice trumps any pastor in the pulpit that's trying to exert his authority over the God's word. He needs to be shut down. If the Holy Spirit leads you to do something and your pastor tells you not to, then he needs to be shut down because he's not operating as a man of God should. From the start of the day to the end of the day, prepares your heart. Prepares your mind. And I've preached quite a bit on prayer. I have several, probably maybe 2 or 3 months of prayer sermons in the archives. You guys can go down and look for them if you want. In closing tonight, this is what the take-home message that I would like you guys to get. The hope, the joy, now peace. This world cannot offer you true peace. This peace this world offers you is fleeing. It's not based on circumstances. Once the roof falls in, there goes all their peace. Their peace is rooted in their pleasure, their needs to control their destiny. It's not firm because it's based on sin. It's based on this fallen world, and we know this fallen world is Satan's world. Their peace will lead them to everlasting damnation, hell. Hell will be full of people who does not want to give up their sin or sins, not truly open their heart to God and find that true peace in their life. Many this year will decide it's not worth it and will end their lives instead of coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. See, that's that manger. Oh, that manger. Oh, that sweet baby. Jesus laying in that manger, the lamb that take away the sins of the world. A world that hated him and still the world hates him now. And they will hate us. Prepare for that If you're trying to be a pastor to be popular, you're going to find out real quick. You'll have to compromise a lot. And if you compromise a lot, then you are never a child of God. If you compromise any, let's spit it out, any. Let me use some little harder language, because obviously we got preachers out there that they're not getting it. You're not a child of God, and you're leading many astray. And those asking those questions, what is wrong with this world, they probably do not want to hear the answer. Majority of Americans, this may fit, even American Christians are professing Jesus with their mouth, but their hearts are so far from Jesus. They don't want to hear this. See, God, Jesus is good. We are bad. We do not deserve the grace and the mercy. We deserve a hell. We deserve a place of everlasting damnation. But Jesus said, but Jesus was sent to us in that manger. Jesus was sent that night to come to, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is already condemned, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten son of God. I was just doing that off of memory. Jesus is the reason for this season. Can't serve two masters, guys. You will love one, you will hate the other. As we looked at Matthew 7, one narrow way and the other is a wide way. The narrow way leads to everlasting life, that's heaven. And Jesus tells us few will find it. Many will not go down that way. And the wide way, of course, leads to damnation, that's hell. And many will find this. Our peace comes from Jesus. It's when we realize these scriptures, when we realize what it means to be a child of God and what really took place that night in that manger, we start getting a full picture of what peace looks like, not how the world presents it. When we start getting that, we start realizing that we need to put on the armor of God. That footing, foundation, Jesus. When we place our footing on that rock, on Jesus, when everything is falling apart, just let it fall. Glory be to God. Let his glory reign. Let his righteous holy reign forevermore. Praise Jesus in the storm. Lay your eyes upon your salvation, the peace that comes with that. Stop letting Satan, his demonic host, steal your hope, joy, and your peace. Our hope, our joy, and peace is solid. Our hope and joy and peace is built on Jesus. And our Jesus is powerful. He was able to heal the lame, and he's still able to. We limit his power because of our unbelief. We limit his power because we don't even have enough faith to even go outside. True faith. He rose the dead. He opened the eyes of the blind. He walked on the water. He cleansed lepers. This is our Jesus. This is where our peace is. This is where our true peace can be found, on that rock. I want to ask you today, are you on that rock? Do you have the peace that's in the Bible? Or do you have the peace of the world? As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we end this sermon tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, whoever's out there that hears this, maybe their hearts are hard to these truths. Maybe they will prefer not to hear them. Maybe they will never listen to a sermon that you have given me. To reject me is to reject Jesus, a true messenger of God. Trying to reach out to whoever will listen to the gospel that is not being taught in America. Majority of churches are turning away from the true gospel message. Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you be with us throughout the week, the remaining of the week. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with us on our services on Sundays. And Lord, be with us on Saturday night Bible study on this website, Lord. I pray those that are hurting, that are going through things in their life, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with them. You understand the pain. You understand it all through the crucifixion, the pain that on our worst day we'll never fully understand what you went through. You understand what we are going through. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.